بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. All praises due to Allah Rabbul Izzah has given us this great, the greatest gift that we can ever imagine. And the reality of this gift and the value of this gift will only dawn upon us the day our eyes close, or rather, like they say, the day our eyes open. That's the day we'll realize what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. The other day I read a malfuz of Mawlana Yunus Patel rahmatullahi alayhi, when he was giving the similitude or the similarity between an airport and the life of this world in akhirat. But anyway, in that discussion he was speaking about visiting the Qabristan. And a person, when he visits the Qabristan, then naturally our eye falls on the tombstones that we find at the various qabrs. And on there we'll find two dates, the date of birth, and then next to the date of birth we'll find a little line, and then is the date of death. So for instance, we'll have 1945, 03, 05, and then we'll have a dash, and then they'll have the date the person passed away, and that will be 2012, 01, 04, for example. So Mawlana was saying that the main thing in the tombstone is the dash. The dash between the two dates, this is the most valuable piece of information. And like Mawlana Qattani Sahib Rahmatullahi Damar Barakatum says, that this life is to be made and not to be spent. So how to make this life valuable? That little dash, the dates, either side of the dash is a long piece of information. But the real thing is this dash. And alhamdulillah, when we come and we sit with those people that are spending their lives correctly, which means in a manner which is making Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. And this is when a person spends his life correctly, when he is making Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. And a person makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is actually the purpose and the object of our life. Like our Hazrat always gives the tafsir of why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us into this world. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ أَيْ لِيَعْرِفُونَ. Now giving the tafsir, but just a loose translation, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us into this world for one object, one purpose, one mission. There is no other reason why we've been sent to the face of this earth. A person can spend 100 years or 1,000 years, and if he never fulfilled the objective of this life, then actually that 100 or 1,000 years was wasted. It was money spent in a useless activity, so to say. A person has money, he has wealth, he has capital, and if this person doesn't spend it in the correct way, then somebody will say, you wasted, or he himself will say, I wasted my money, I wasted my time. That's when a person spends it incorrectly. So likewise, the seconds and the moments, now is MashaAllah, the month of Muharram, and in the majalis of Shaykh of Hazrat, we'll hear about the value of time. And what is time? That life, the 60 years or 70 years of life, actually it is made up of years, and then we'll break it down into months, and then we'll break it down further into the weeks, and then into days, and then into hours, and then into minutes, and then into seconds. And actually our life is just but a life of a few moments. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi said something to this effect, that this life is just but a moment. So make it a moment of obedience. This life is but a moment. Spend it as a moment of obedience. So every moment, if a person takes it like, you know, moment by moment, we spend it pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then our whole life, then our moments will be spent correct. A person's seconds will be spent correctly. If your seconds are spent correctly, then a person's minutes, and like that his hours, and like this his days, and like this his weeks, and like this the years, and like this your entire life will be spent in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So coming back is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us into this world to recognize Him. That being, today we were speaking with Mawlana Musa Sahib, Jamar Barakatum, he was asking me about my father, so I was telling him that he had, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so willed it, he got a bit sickly in a week or two ago, and he was affected with a stroke, so now he can only see, the stroke affected his eyesight. So now he can see, But unfortunately he can't see straight. So if he wants to look straight at anything, he has to move his head to the right, and at an angle he can see. So it's optometrist, for example, he wanted to see the letters, he had to move his head and see from the corner of his eye. So to make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we don't have to move our head around, or if our eyeballs are functioning, you know, they can function and move to the left and to the right. Imagine if a person had to drive in that condition. And I told Maulana, somebody else told me another ajeeb example yesterday at work. There's one uncle whose eyelids, Maulana always gives, Hazrat gives the example of the eyelids. This man, his eyelids continuously shut, continuously just drop down, unless he takes his medication. If he misses a few days of medication, his eyelids shut, only for him to take his medication, again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens his eyes. So all these, sometimes the sun is too far away to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some of us. Many of us, the moon and the stars, these things are far away. But just in this eyelid, which to me is the closest to the eye, you can see Allah after learning from Hazrat, that in our eyelids we can see Allah. And what is there closer? There's none. If you can't see Allah in your eyelids, then that sun and that is a bit far. So in any event, these eyelids, there's one girl I know, she met up in an accident, young girl, her muscle, eye muscle, this has been, some damage has come to it. So she can't close, this uncle, his eyes close all the time. This girl can't close her eyes. So even while in a state of sleep, her eyes are open continuously. Her eyes never close. She has to force it now and again to close. Otherwise it just doesn't close. So in each of these, so to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even our eyelids will show us. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that look within yourself, you will definitely see me. So in all these ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person will find Allah. And this is why we have been sent into this world, to look at each thing, to look at each ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it be within ourselves, whether it be within somebody else. And this is man's nature. Only when harm comes to him or someone around him, then he appreciates what he has. What he has, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. And this design of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the machine of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which he has, it's perfect. Like they say, perfectly complete and completely perfect, is the will, is the design, is the irada, is the method of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Completely perfect and perfectly complete. So respected friends, when coming into this majlis, this is what we need to take with us. Allah give me tawfiq firstly, to go back and to look at everything, that how Allah, everything there's a lesson, in a blade of grass, from the blade of grass right through, till an elephant, in each thing, in a camel, how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown his kudrat and his greatness, in a lion, in an ant, in any creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So respected friends and elders, in this month of Muharram, to take the lesson of time, that we are here for a very, very short time. Last week, this time, three of our brothers, our satis, their ruh was being called. Many of us travel on a Tuesday. Many of us travel on a Tuesday to Azadwal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it that it was their turn to go. One day we don't know when it's ours to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The most certain thing of life is death. The most uncertain thing is the time of death. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to call each one of us, when it's going to be, like Hakim Akhtar Saab rahmatullahi alayhi said, that strange is this visa of life. This visa, we're all on a visa of life here. That is extremely strange. And why he says this is strange? Why? Because one day, this visa can be, it can never be extended. There is no extension to this visa. And secondly, this visa can be, a person can be cancelled at any time. And the duration of this visa is unknown. We don't know how long we're going to be here. We can't extend it by any amount of time. And neither do we know at what exact moment we're going to be called back. So to be prepared for that moment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us back, we did nizam, we can, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, is not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather we are of the condition of a person when he's recalled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the Khalifa Harun Rashid, his son, when he was lying on his deathbed, and he went away into the jungles, because he wanted to free himself from the attractions and the distractions of this dunya, and the advice he gave those few people that were sent with a few provisions from his father, he said that, Ya sahibi, la taghtarir bitana'umi, فالعمر ينفد والنعيم يزول وإذا حملت إلى القبور جنازة فاعلم بأنك بعدها محمول. Just إجازة بإذن إن شاء الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. حضرت والا عارف بالله رومي وقت هذا الشاكي محمد اقتصاد نور المقرر الكلام زخم ألفت جو قلب قائل نہیں زخم الفت سے جو قلب غائل نہیں اہل الفت کی جانب وہ مائل نہیں زخم الفت سے جو قلب غائل نہیں اہل الفت کی جانب وہ مائل نہیں بحر الفت کا کوئی کنارہ کہاں بحر الفت کا کوئی کنارہ کہاں یہ سمندر ہے وہ جس کا ساحل نہیں یہ سمندر ہے وہ جس کا ساحل نہیں جانے کیا دوستو لطف آہو فغا جانے کیا دوستو لطف آہو فغا درد الفت کا جو قلب حامل نہیں درد الفت کا جو قلب حامل نہیں اہل الفت کی جانب وہ مائل نہیں صحبت شیخ سے جو بھی محروم ہے صحبت شیخ سے جو بھی محروم ہے بن کے رہبر بھی وہ شیخ کامل نہیں بن کے رہبر بھی وہ شیخ کامل نہیں اس کی منبر پر تقریر بے کیف ہے اس کی منبر پہ تقریر بے کیف ہے دل درد دل خاک میں جس کے شامل نہیں درد دل خاک میں جس کے شامل نہیں اور جس کا دل اہل دل پر نہیں ہے فدا جس کا دل اہل دل پر نہیں ہے فدا اس کے سینے میں دل ہے مگر دل نہیں اس کے سینے میں دل ہے مگر دل نہیں سارے عالم میں اختر کی ہے یہ صدا سارے عالم میں اختر کی ہے یہ صدا وہ کمینہ ہے جو ان کا سائل نہیں وہ کمینہ ہے جو ان کا سائل نہیں بحر الفت کا کوئی کنارہ کہاں بحر الفت کا کوئی کنارہ کہاں یہ سمندر ہے وہ جس کا ساحل نہیں یہ سمندر ہے وہ جس کا ساحل نہیں زخم الفت سے جو قلب غائل نہیں
اہل الفت کی جانب وہ مائل نہیں، اہل الفت کی جانب وہ مائل نہیں۔
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، الحمد للہ وکفا وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى، اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين، صدق الله مولانا العظيم۔ The title of this poem: زخم الفت سے جو قلب گائل نہیں، گائل نہیں، that heart which has not been colored with the love of Allah tabaraka ta'ala, that person doesn't incline to Allah wala. It's natural. If a person is interested in soccer, he wants all soccer players and soccer he wants to watch all the time. A person who is interested in money, he's in business all the time. So a person who wants Allah, his inclination to Allah wala. So naturally a person who wants Allah, who desires and loves Allah in that direction, then he will go to Allah Ta'ala. And the person who hasn't got the love of Allah, what does he know to be crying to Allah, making dua, turning to Allah Ta'ala all the time? He's got not that interest. So that is the thing which a person has to beg from Allah, that Allah Ta'ala makes us close to him. And that person who hasn't got this love of Allah tabaraka ta'ala, in his bayan also you won't notice that the love of Allah. There will be a lot of other things of deen, beneficial also, but that love of Allah, which is our first and foremost thing, that the one who created us, we have his love in our heart. And that person who, the highest point, that person who hasn't sacrificed his whole heart for Allah, he's got a heart in his body, but he hasn't got a heart. Heart is really that which is connected with Allah Ta'ala. Sare alam mein akhtar ki hai ye sada, this is the call of Hazrat in the whole world. Wo kameena hai jo unka sail nahi, that person is a very base, low person who is not asking of Allah, doesn't want to become Allah's. Allah gave him everything and he's going to return to Allah. And just as Hafiz Yusuf explained now to us, that just that little dash, that's our little while. And this little while we should try and find Allah Ta'ala. We've got a student who has just come from Sudan, and he just told me now that he saw one dream there about the madrasa here. So we'll just ask him to narrate it.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. الحمد لله الله سبحانه وتعالى أكرمنا برؤية هذه المدرسة المباركة قبل أن نأتي إلى هذه المدرسة. الحمد لله رب العالمين. رأيت شيخي الذي تعلمت منه في السودان وهو اسمه الشيخ عبد الحميد، الشيخ عبد الحميد، رأيته في هذا المكان فقال لي، ناداني فقال لي: يا عثمان نوريك المنهج اللي يدرس هنا، وراني الجدول بتاع الدروس والحصص. ثم رفعنا رؤوسنا أعلى فرأينا أمام باب المدرسة، مباشرة جار المدرسة كان روضة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وضريح رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فاتح مباشرة على باب هذه المدرسة المباركة. فأخبرت الشيخ عبد الحميد في السودان عن هذه الرؤية، فقال لي: هذه المدرسة لها اتصال مباشرة بمنهج رسول الله. جزاكم الله خيرا لكم الدعاء، دعوا لي ربنا يوفقنا هنا إن شاء الله.
MashaAllah, this is our brother Osman, Osman from Sudan. He has just come a couple of lamps. Day before yesterday he arrived. He was standing there and his sheikh there, he also was Sheikh Abdul Hamid. So there he saw a dream, he saw the madrasa. And then after that he saw that on the other side, right opposite the madrasa, is the rawza of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the door of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's house and the gate of the madrasa are opposite one another. And he says he understood from that that the madrasa is on the tariqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he should start turning there, that is the place. He saw the timetable also of the madrasa. The whole institute has a timetable. The whole timetable was also there in front of him. May Allah Ta'ala accept. Grand dreams are dreams, but they are mubashir, they are mubashirat for us. May Allah Ta'ala make it like this, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairah. We discussed quite a bit about Muharram, but one very, perhaps the most important aspect got left out. And that had to be done in the monthly majlis when all are here. But anyway, it's very important. And of the month of Muharram itself and Ashura. These are very, Ashura is a very, two very great days for us. So the month of Muharram is known as Shahrullah, the month of Allah Ta'ala. And that shows the great importance and value of this whole month. Consequently, it has been narrated that keeping on any day roza of this month is equal to 1 month's rozas. So if we can, how much we can, and mashallah, there are quite a few people, rozas are not difficult for them, they manage them quite easily. So this is a month. Otherwise, if we can, Monday and Thursday we try and keep roza, whatever we can. So that is for the whole month of Muharram. Every day's roza equal to 1 month's rozas. And then the 9th and 10th, or the 10th and 11th, those have got even more greater value. And that is the kafara for the year past, for the past year. So we should try and keep, which this year will fall, Arbi'a and Khamis, next week Thursday and Friday, or Wednesday and Thursday, or Thursday and, Tuesday. Thulatha and Arbi'a, Tuesday and Wednesday, or Arbi'a and Khamis, Wednesday and Thursday. We should try and keep at least those 2 days rozas as far as possible. It's not for us, but great, great value if we can, and it doesn't impede any of our other deeni work, then we should try and keep this roza. Also, the little bit history with regard to this roza is also very important. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Madinatul Munawwara, he found the Jewish people keeping roza on the 10th of Muharram. So he asked them, why are you people keeping roza? They said, Allah Ta'ala gave salvation to Musa alayhi salatu was salam on this day. And many other historic facts are also related to this day. Anyway, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we are more worthy there to keep roza in appreciation and shukr that Allah gave salvation on this day to Musa alayhi salatu was salam and the Bani Israel. So from there, one lesson that we learn, to make shukr is also to keep roza. That is also a form of shukr. Normally we think, my son, my daughter became hafiz, for example. Now we want to make shukr. فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُ. That Allah says, be happy with that work, the great value and honor of Quran Sharif a person has got. One form is you call people, you feed them, and that is also going a bit, perhaps overboard, out of hand. They are becoming too big, these celebrations, for one. The other is, it's becoming more like a social function at the least. And at the most, perhaps it is going into show also, etc. And extravagance is there also. The purpose of it is very good, very great. But because we can't keep it controlled, it seems to be going out of hand. Perhaps it will be better if somebody wants to show his appreciation, that he keeps rozas. That is also a form of showing appreciation. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali, when he got his permit to stay in Madinatul Munawwara, he kept 40 days rozas to make shukr to Allah tabaraka ta'ala. What we will think, I got my passport, I got my green card, I got this, I got that, so we'll invite people. We will normally celebrate. Though that is also in Islam. Feasting is also like aqiqah, walima, that is also in Islam. But fasting is also a form of showing appreciation. So then that is a great form also, which we try and also fulfill from time to time. The other great lesson we learned, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that we are different from the Bani Israel. So we will keep one day more to show that we are different. 9th and 10th we will keep, or the 10th and 11th. They only keep on the 10th. So just imagine that in deeni matters, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us to be different from them. So yeah, for us also, we should try and be different. That we keep the 9th and 10th and the 10th and 11th. We should try and keep the 2 days rozas. And from here we learn the great lesson that almost everything, especially what we have discussed, our calendar is also our calendar, and we should be different from their calendars. We should follow our calendar, especially in our deeni matters, that we should follow our calendar and we should be acquainted with it. Quite some time ago, we received a letter here from somebody in Switzerland. And they said that we should write to the United Nations, and they must have written to all Islamic institutes around the world, organizations, etc. And we should tell the United Nations that they represent all the nations of the world. So they must use all the calendars of the people of the world also. For example, for 5 years, use the Christian calendar, for 5 years the Jewish calendar, for 5 years Muslim calendar, 5 years whatever it is, because they're representing everyone, so everyone's things must be represented. So he said that we should write that they must even have Islamic, they should use the Islamic calendar also. So anyway, that is very good, but at the same time we should consider, and Muslims have got this great jazba in them, this great feeling in them, that we want everything Islamic. Wherever an airport, we want a prayer facility there, we want a musalla, which is good also, but there also where there are more things to attach to it, which we should be we should take into cognizance. One aspect is that there are at all major airports there are facilities for namaz now, and we are happy and we feel these people are doing so much for us, but actually in a way it is also hiding the da'wat of Islam. That you go in one corner of the airport, you give your azan softly there, and you make your namaz one side there, nobody sees you. Whereas namaz itself, azan for namaz is da'wat, which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma rabba hadihi da'wati tamma. It is the da'wati tamma. And then when making namaz, standing in front of Allah tabaraka ta'ala, there is no idol in front of you, there is nothing in front of you, just for Allah ta'ala you are performing. That is such a great da'wah, that these people here, they're exclusive for the Almighty. And then bowing down to Allah ta'ala, and then going into sajda, the postures that we don't think about it, but the very postures of namaz have got so great value. On one occasion, we were with our sheikh in Nigel, and then I was returning, and at one filling station, I made Maghrib namaz. So I got off the car, stood next to the car, and I made my namaz, and I didn't realize the petrol attendant was watching me all the time. After I finished namaz, I was getting into the car, he came to me and asked, what were you doing? So I said, I was praying. So he said, what a beautiful form of prayer. He says, me too, every night before I sleep, I'm also going to do like this. So namaz has got a great, great attraction. So we should try and, if we can, do it in a public place. It has got great attraction. We shouldn't hide away one side and make our namaz. Usually we are shy, so we just make it one side. And mashallah, there are those brothers who will give their azan very loudly also. So that also, if we have got that imani jazba, by all means give your azan loudly also. Azan is meant to be given. Also we noticed one thing, that many places where our masjids are in an environment where there are a lot of non-Muslims around also, so they were not allowed to give the adhan on the mic outside. So we noticed in those masjids they put the mic inside. But the people who are in the masjid, you're calling them for namaz, they are there already. Your adhan is supposed to call the people who are outside to come. But now you're calling the people who are in the masjid already. And you are calling them, and the azan goes loudly in the masjid, Normally in our areas, you can hear the adhan is outside. But because of the law whatsoever, but the adhan, even if we call it, don't call it on the mic, just like that. But the adhan should be called outside, and the sound should go outside to the people. And we have to keep in mind the laws also, otherwise we face other problems again. So that is one thing also that we learn, that our namazes at the airports, etc. So what I was saying, that Muslims are very anxious and very keen to establish all this, which is good. At the ultra cities, the garages, etc., they make sure they get a flat toilet also. At the airport, they make sure, and which is good also. But in their own house, they put high toilets. And if these people, they have to check up that for outside you make a big noise, you want flat toilets. And in your own house, where you don't need a petition, where you don't have to motivate your request or anything, there we put high toilets. So these are like double standards also. So we should, yes, there is a different story. Somebody has got joint pains or something and that, and he can't help it, and he has to sit on a high pen, unfortunately. That's a different thing. But otherwise, we should try and use the flat pen, which is the most closest to the actual sunnah of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, we see very sadly that almost all the hotels now in the Haramain Sharifain, they have all got only high pens. And then how many of them are facing the Qibla? That is also a sad thing that is happening nowadays. Which there, we have a visitor here, and we asked him about the meat there. So he says about the hotels which are around the Haram, he says, we can't tell you anything about that. So that tells you a lot, that we can't tell you anything about that. That from where is that meat, what is the meat like or whatever. But Allah Ta'ala help us and guide us, and we become conscious, and Allah Ta'ala guide us on the right path, make it easy. Today every effort is being made that in the name of Islam, that it is difficult for you to practice Islam. And the sad part, in the name of Islam. So like that, we should be conscious of these things also. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that on this, the occasion of Muharram, we must be different from the other people. So that is a great lesson to learn. And as far as possible, in all our activities, we should have our way, the Islamic way. For example, some of our buzurgs get so angry when they speak, for example, of the toothbrush. They say, break it and throw it away. It has replaced the miswak. And the miswak is so much of importance is given to it in the hadith. Great, great importance is given to the miswak. So we should try and use the miswak regularly all the time. Our homes, as far as possible, trying to make it close towards deen and towards Islam. Our clothing, our dressing, etc. And also one thing which is very important in all these matters is that what the love in the heart is, what is in the heart, that is going to come out in the qabr also. وَحُسْتَلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ, what is in the heart. And at the time of maut also, it is not the tongue that is going to, and what you got in your mind. Like that, even a little child know the answers for the three questions. مَا رَبُّكَ مَا دِينُكَ مَا تَقُولُ فِي حَقِّ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even a little child knows. But even a non-Muslim will know, who studied little bit about Islam, he will also know what those answers are. But in the, at the time of maut also, what is in the heart will be coming out. So that is what we have to also work towards. And this is also, that is why we come regularly to majlis, and the more we will speak about it, the more we will listen to it, the more we will make zikr, and the more we make our zikr consciously, all these things will help in that direction, that we go towards bringing this into our. And also, one person wrote to Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Ali, and he said that I wish to my islah to be made. Maybe he was very far, he couldn't come to Thana Bhavan, and if you can tell me how I must make my islah. Hazrat wrote to him, read 20 of my bayans, lectures, with the niyat of your reformation. After some time he wrote, I read 20 lectures of yours, but I don't find any difference in me. Hazrat wrote back, perhaps you did not read with the niyat of reformation. Perhaps you you didn't pay attention, you just read it to increase your knowledge. Or perhaps you read it, but carelessly you read it. A few points Maulana wrote. And if you read it, and what the niyat of reformation, but you didn't find any benefit, perhaps you are already reformed. So you don't need reformation. How Hazrat presented it. And then the person wrote back, he said, yes, it's true that I did not read it with the niyat of Islah. Then Hazrat wrote, now read it again. And read with the niyat of Islah. Then he wrote back, I've benefited tremendously. So the same way, if we are coming or I'm speaking, but if I'm speaking to tell everyone, when my niyat is not my Islah, when you're making bayat, and I'm thinking I'm making somebody bayat, and that I promise to make 5 times namaz, make hajj, give zakat, but I haven't got that in me, I'm telling others, then it won't come into me. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ According to your niyat, I act. But if you are talking and all that, it must come into me, that's why I'm speaking. And others also benefit, then inshallah, you will also benefit. So if we are coming with the niyat of reformation, we are coming with the niyat to find Allah Ta'ala, then we will get that benefit. Otherwise, maybe whole life also, Hazrat Shaykh, our Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, says that a person, there are many people whole life who made zikr, but they didn't get the real benefit of zikr. So that zikr also, one is that a person does it with love. Even if he doesn't feel that love in his heart, but still he speaks and with that love and that loving way he makes his zikr. And the ash'ar help tremendously there. And if we look into, we try and understand the ash'ar also, and we tell them also. Look, mashallah, Hafiz Yusuf is an accountant, but he read the Arabic ash'ar. He didn't get the time to translate them, but how beautiful. So those ash'ar also, if we learn them, and especially the ash'ar for zikr, and we keep them in mind, and we make our zikr, then see the value. So one is to do our zikr with great love and concentration also. Even if the ash'ar are not there, just think of the muraqabah, the various ahadith which have come in the virtues of La ilaha illallah and in the name of Allah Ta'ala. If we just think of all that also, then we will see how much that will come into us. So all this has to come and go into the heart. And we have to check also regularly what is in my heart. And Allah knows best, but what comes into my mind, there are two occasions where a person can check what is in his heart. One is in namaz, what thoughts are coming to you. And one is when you're lying down to sleep now. You finished talking to your wife, everything, now you have turned your side, and now you read your wazifas, whatever you have to do, and now what thoughts are coming into you. That will be an indication of what is in the heart. And that is what is going to come out at the time of maut, not what is on the tongue. And a beautiful example of that, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali gives, that a person has got a parrot, and he taught the parrot to say beautiful words, making salam, or saying adhan, or many other things also. But the one day it so happens that the parrot is out of the cage, or the cage door is open, and the cat or dog is now coming for the parrot. And it's putting its paw, it's stretching it out for the parrot. Now its mind goes blank. Mind goes blank. Now what is in its heart is going to come out. So at the time of maut also, Allah make it easy for us. Allah makes sakarat easy for us. And when malakul maut comes, Allah make it easy. But at that time, what is in the heart is going to come out. Not what is in the mind, or what is on the tongue, but what is in the heart. So we have to work towards that. So this is also an occasion that we bring Islam into our hearts. And which comes in the Quran Sharif, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. Do not incline towards the wrongdoers. And the word tarkanu, Mufassireen have various, they have explained it various ways. One is mailane yasir. A little bit inclination also to their ways we shouldn't have. One is mailane qalbi. Your heart shouldn't incline towards them. And what you like in what is in your heart will come out outside in your life. What a person less and lacks will come out outside in his life. So a person, how one is by force you are doing something, and one is by choice you are doing something. So this is important, that love of deen and the love of Islam must come into our hearts. And there are many people, Allahu Akbar, you may see them like that, how they are dressed, etc. But that is due to certain conditions they have to, but inside they've got the love of Allah Ta'ala. And there are many other people outside who look very pious. And that also because of certain conditions they are like that. But in the heart they don't have that love of Allah. So we have to develop that love of deen, that love of Allah Ta'ala, and when it reaches that stage, that becomes a natural love. Not just a thought about love, a natural love. What enjoyment isn't in there? So may Allah Ta'ala bless us with that. And for that also, this month of Muharram and Ashura is very, very important that we take this lesson. That we, in everything, as far as possible, we try and do everything according to our sunnat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and in our distinctive way. For example, drinking water with the right hand. We'll see commonly non-believers, they will drink with the left hand. It's very, very common. So we should drink with the right hand. And kana Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam yuhibbu at-tayammuni fi kulli shay, or kama qal, that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved everything with the right, all good things. And other things, from there also we understand, when we walk into the masjid with the right foot, when we walk out with the left. And then the same rule applies for every other place also. When you are going from the better place to the less better, like you are going from outside, it's a sahen of the masjid, courtyard of the masjid, but masjid is superior, so you come in with the right leg. The same way when we wear our shoes, if we can, where it's possible, then first step out with the left leg there also. From our house, we step out with the left leg, we step in with the right leg. From the room into the passage, the room is more superior. So there also step into the passage with the left leg. Step into the room with the right leg. Everywhere, you go into the bathroom, it's an attached bathroom, whatever it is, not a toilet. But there also, you step in with the left leg, step out with the right leg. So everywhere like that, this is one basic rule, that wherever we are, that what is the better place, and then try and what call it, step into with that with the right, and when you come out from there, with the left. So all these things, this is an occasion that we learn, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted us, even in our deeni matters, we mustn't be exactly like the other nations, the Ahle Kitab. The others are far away, the Jews, the Christians. And there is an instance also narrated of a pious Buzurg, when the Hindus had the holy days. That is when they paint animals red, the pan when they eat, or they make everything red. So one Buzurg was traveling by train, and a cow or something was there, donkey, whatever. So he said, nobody has made holy on you. Sprayed something red, so he was eating pan and he sprayed it, and he was taken to task for that. So even we might think as small things, like for example, when November comes, Hindus have the Diwali round about that time, and if the firecrackers, they burn them and that, how many Muslims also do it? This is a very bad tashabbuh, that is the religious matter. New Year's night, other people sound hooters, etc. How many Muslims also get engaged in all these things? How many people, unfortunately, Christmas trees, our people also put in the house for December, for Christmas time? These are things which we should, we should try and inform. And if we go a bit more further, Hazrat Maulana As'ad Madani Rahmatullah Ali brought this to our attention many times, that for example, our drinking glasses must not be wine glasses. Many of us got wine glasses, just we don't think about it. So that is also tashabbuh, not only bil kuffar, but with the evil sin we are being similar to. Also, Maulana used to be very particular about our utensils, the plate, the bowl, the yellow, the gold lining on the side. Many of our plates have got that. It's not gold, it's just gold color. It's not even gold plated, it's just the gold color. But he says the future people will come and they will think that our parents used to use gold. and gold is not permitted in our utensils, etc., all these things. So we should avoid that also. Gold in the watch, we should try and avoid that also. So all these things also we should become. And when we are not, we don't think about it. Many people, Muslim people, are buying houses in white areas. Whites were living there first. We also happened, we had to go to some such places. And in those places, in the country towns, those people, the white people, had a bar also. So they also maintain the bar. They don't drink liquor. They have grape juice, apple juice, but also it's sold and you get it in the bottles like the wine bottle. And you cork it also like a wine, and they do that. And they serve it like that from the bar. So those things are very far for us. We should avoid all these things. And like that we should think of many more things also. How many of our women are wearing saris on special occasions? They wear saris also, and we don't think of it as anything. Think, where it's a national dress, and everyone is wearing, there is a different ruling there. And where it is, only the Hindus are wearing saris, there it's a different, now you are imitating their dress. And even many other dress forms, whether it's a sari or where, from that we can think of many other forms of dressing also, which are the non-Muslim things. We must try and avoid that also. And all these, without us thinking, they are great ibadats also. This that we do, and we do it because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we are different people. So even our roza, we will keep one more, either this side or that side, but to show the difference. And so in everything else also, we should try and maintain our Islamic values and ethos, and everything we should do according to sunnat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the other Ahl Kitab, they don't make sehri for their roza. We make sehri. So that also, when we get up for sehri, also think of it. We are following what our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and we are doing it. Also, which is becoming a bit hoped up common, but which is happening now, that when the janazah is there and there are a few minutes waiting for the people, then praising the janazah, the person there. That is also the way of the Christians. They do it particularly, that when the coffin is lying there, then they say some words of praise. To make an announcement, though it's not really also there, like any announcement, if he's owing anyone money and people want to, they can collect it from so and so, or there is some time and you remind people, some good reminder. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also on such occasions reminded people of qabrista, of death, life after death, everything, as mashallah Hafiz Yusuf was explaining about life after death, etc. And he also mentioned that the one most certain thing in whole life is death. And the most uncertain thing in life is life. Life is the most uncertain. That for example, our brothers, may Allah give them Jannat, how many others? They left home, they greeted the family, everything. And they might have said also, we'll be back so in so time or tomorrow. But life is the most uncertain. But the way we are beguiled, we are fooled, and we are so, that we take life to be certain. In fact, one very beautiful Arabic saying, that if you hear that somebody is still alive, you must be surprised and shocked. Because the whole system, a person, just like Yusuf was explaining also, about the eye, one person's eyelid just closes, another one just stays open. Like that, what can go wrong in the body? One drop of blood flows in the whole body about 100,000 kilometers a day. Up and down, into the heart, into the lungs, purified, back to the head, flowing in the whole body, back to the heart, back to the lungs, and that 100 kilometers, 100,000 kilometers, and no accident. I'm 50 years old today, for 50 years no accident. A person who's traveling 100,000 kilometers a day, for 50 years he made no accident. And even when he was just born, the blood was starting, in fact in the mother's womb already. After life came into the child, the heart started functioning. And the whole life it is working like that. How perfect it is. And then again, the heart, it's every organ of the body is beyond our, we just cannot understand the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. How the ventricles open, close, by the split second, if little difference have to come, a person will die. he's got a heart attack. Little bit something, he gets a stroke, brain hemorrhage, anything. What, how many things? We don't think our lungs, how they are working. And we are breathing all every smallest part of the body. How great is that Allah Ta'ala's Qudrat. And all the, and that is just one human, and in one human a billion things in him. And then how many billion Muslims, people there in the world? Then how many birds, how many elephants, how many animals, how many in the seas, in the waters, all these things. So Allah Ta'ala's Qudrat is so great. So this is the time that we take, we reflect on all these things of time, how Allah has made time also. And also with regard to that, we must do everything in our way. And that is also a great ibadah. May Allah make us conscious of that. And all the time that we are Muslims. And also, we all must make dua, and all of us must make effort what we can. One brother phoned today, and we are now, what's it now, October has started. Matriculants are going to be starting with their matric exams now. And together with that, how many things go? Hey, the parties, and now end of the year, all the parties of, at the workplaces, etc. And one lady over the weekend explained at home that many of our university students, boys and girls, Allah save us all, it's not nice to talk, but are taking to alcohol, etc. What things are happening? So we must have concern, at least dua. How many of us are making dua, having that worry? Going in Jamaat is a step further. Coming Majlis is a step further. But at least that concern. And to talk about it in a positive way. And the best is to encourage good deeds. If you talk of the negative, it's difficult. People don't like it also. And today is a difficult time. But if we talk of the positive things, and don't give chance for the negative there. A room which is dark, and you want the darkness to go out, you don't have to give a whole bayan of 1 hour to the darkness. You don't have to bring a whole army there with tanks and missiles and everything. Just put the switch on. Light comes, and where the dark goes away, you don't know also. It just disappears completely. So in the same way, bring light into the lives of people. Encourage them, fazail-e amal, encourage them on namaz, etc., tilawat, etc. These things, the darkness will go out on its own. So may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah, that we take lessons of all these things. And this Muharram, where our rozas also, inzas also, inshallah. And that we should avoid also. And so at the Qabristan, praising the person. And even afterwards, praising the person is discouraged in the hadith. That person, if he liked it, or knew people will talk, and he didn't make a wasiyah that don't praise me afterwards, then the person gets punishment for that. And he is asked by the farishtas, were you like that? And people usually exaggerate too much. And the two beautiful words in Arabic, ta'rif and ta'aruf. One is ta'rif, to praise a person. One is ta'aruf, to introduce a person. Ta'aruf is alright, you introduce a person. But to go on praising the person, and you, mostly in praising, you go into exaggeration. And then you get punished for that also. So we should try and avoid that also. May Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala make it easy for us, inshallah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وصحبه وبارك وسلم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك والعمل الذي يبلغنا حبك. اللهم اجعل حبك أحب إلينا من أنفسنا وأهلنا ومن الماء البارد. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها، أنت خير من زكاها، أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم. اللهم اخرج اليهودية والنصرانية من قلوبنا ومن قلوب المسلمين. اللهم احي الدين في العالم كله الى يوم القيامة، اجعلنا سببا لهذا. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم، وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله.